the consensus view is, if you ask people how many books of the Torah is, they say the Chamishei Chumshei Torah. We all know the five books of Moses, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim. However, based on the Gemara in Shabbos, we get a different view. Based on a pasuk they learn out from Mishle, I think from Shlomo HaMelech, the world stands on the seven legs of Chochmah, is referring to the seven books of Moses. But what do you mean seven books? There are only five. So, either with them would make it 26 books instead of 24. But, if in last week we read Parshas Bahaloscha, and in the Chumash, you see something very strange at the, I think it was around Shishi, when we read the parasha of Ahibim Soa Aron Vayomer Moshe, which we say when we take the Torah out, and Uvenucha Yom, and we put it back in. So there's two verses, two psukim in Baloscha, and they're surrounded by these strange inverted nuns. Like there's two nuns before and after. So what are they doing there? Like what's the, so usually, when you have between the book of Bereishis and Shmos, Shmos Vayikra, Bamidbar Devarim, you have, there's four blank lines when you have space in between the different books. So, and to show like the end of Sefer Bereishis, the beginning of Shmos, etc. Over here, it'd be look a little silly because you only have two verses, so it's to have four empty lines before and four empty lines after, when you only have something which is like two psukim, so they put the nun hafuchim in order to signify that these two verses are its own independent sefer. In other words, how do I know we paskin, whatever paskining means here, that we paskin there are seven books of Moses and not five? Because from the Mishnayos, learn out halachas, and what's the cutoff point? At what point do I say, like if I write the letter Aleph Beis, that doesn't give it a status of a sefer? In other words, what's the minimum amount of letters, words, like what do I need for it to have a status, a halachic status of a sefer? So the Mishnayos say you need Pei Hei Osios, 85 letters. Where do they get 85 letters from? I didn't count it, but apparently those two verses by Yehibim and Soa Aron and Yuchayomar count up to 85. So we have, we're going out of halacha, that if a sefer, you know, written with a cloth and parchment and all that, has 85 letters or more, so it has a din of Kedusha sefer, Kedusha sefer. Where do we learn it out from? So clearly they learn it out from by Yehibim to Aron, so we see from here that it's its own book. So in other words, it'd be, so when you come to Bamidbar, so there's Bamidbar 1, that's before the Nun HaFuchim, before Vahim, then you have book 2, those are the two sentences, and then you have book 3, so last week in Shul we read three books from three different books of Moses, Bamidbar 1, 2, and 3 all in one week. So the question is, it must be very important. Like, Bereishis had to have a whole book. Shmos needed a whole book. What's so important about these two verses, these two psukim, that it warranted its own sefer Torah, its own like sefer? Like, there must be a very important idea for it to get such a schus, right?
Correct. I follow.
Yeah. So Rav Soloveitchik famously used to say, one of the most important principles one could ever have in Judaism, it applies now as much as it did when he said it 100 years before that, 1,000 years before that, 100 years from now. Now, what's the biggest impediment for one to keep the Torah? Is they say, the Torah doesn't apply to us anymore, be it the Eastern European Jews when they came over to the melting pot of America in the 1920s, and they threw, when they got there, oh, this is the New World America, we're not keeping archaic Judaism. Let's get rid of the beards and payas. Let's get rid of the tefillin and talis. Let's get rid of... I can't keep Shabbos, because if I keep Shabbos, I won't be able to... I won't have a job. I'll get fired. So that... And that's... From a religious point of view, the 20s to 40s was a lost generation. And but basically, they said, who can keep the Torah here? Like, you know, that's, we're in modern America. Or conversely, when the original Zionists went to Israel, Torah, are you kidding me? That's for chutzlar. It's like, here we have to work the land, we got to build things up. The Torah is not for us. You know, we could go on example after example that the concern is the Torah is great, but it's not for me, not in my time. And obviously, the lesson is the Torah, Hebam Soa Aron. They used to, every time they moved in the Mishkan, they said it. And in fact, that's the Ramban in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, where the Ramban said, why is it called the Book of Golos V'Geula, the Book of Shmos? For obvious reasons, the Golos Mitzrayim and the Geula, and they got the Torah at Har Sinai. So that makes sense. But the question is, what is Parshas Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakov, Pekud, they have to do with it? And the book should have ended after Parshas Mishpatim. Would have... So the answer is the Ramban, because... As they say, you can't take the mountain with you. You can't take Har Sinai with you. What is? But the Mishkan's a portable Sinai. You take the message of Sinai, that whatever God told me on Sinai, whatever Moshe told us, that applies for all future, not only in the Midbar, when we go into the land of Israel. It's the principles, as I always point out. That, like, Rabbi, does the Torah change? And I say, it depends what you mean by change. Then cognitive dissonance usually kicks in. Don't worry, I'll tell you what I mean by change. So obviously, if you're asking me, do the principles given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai change, the obvious answer is no. But does the application of the law change? Of course it does. If you got to take the principles of Har Sinai. And the one example I always use is speaking of Vittori, the pregnant wife of a Kohen, that if someone asks me 200 years, in other words, we have a principle, Safek Daraisa L'chumra, we have a principle, a doubt by a biblical law we're strict on, a doubt by a rabbinic law we are lenient on. And then we have another principle, a Svek Svek, a double doubt on a biblical law we're also lenient on. So those are the principles, they never change. Savik Daraisa L'chumra, Savik Darabanan L'kula, Svek Sveka L'kula. Okay, so those are the... Okay, so now someone asked me 200 years ago, can a wife of a pregnant wife of a Kohen go into a cemetery? I'll say, yeah, because it's a double doubt. Maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a Rokeach Svek Sveka. Maybe it's a boy, maybe it's a girl. And even if it's a guy, maybe he won't live to fruition. So you have more than a 50% chance that the person won't be a viable meal. So therefore, that was the psak. So the question is today, sonograms. So now, let's say I took a test, I know it's a meal. So without taking anything else into account, if I know it's a meal, so then I have to go back to the principle. Savikta writes, it's only one doubt, Savikta writes, Ulchumra. So that's a classic case where the principles don't change, but the psak could change. By the way, I'm not saying that case, I wouldn't tell her she could go, and I could come up with other reasons why to be lenient. I'm just isolating the principle. So, of course, principles...
Just out of curiosity, yeah. in that case,
you're saying you did a sonogram and it wasn't conclusive? What do you mean? What was
so
the...
If you do an ultrasound that's 12 weeks,
right?
An anatomical ultrasound, they can't tell you the gender of the baby.
Oh, yeah. So then, yeah. So that's, for our purposes, that would be equivalent to no sonogram. It's not a sonogram. It's made right. It's no different than a... No, if a Navi Muchzak, a Navi we could trust, came down and said, your wife's pregnant. So, you know, so then, you know, it would be like that. Yeah, so it's just a matter if we know it. There are other reasons why I could be lenient even besides that, but it's just the principles don't. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to always say. The most important principle is the Torah. He says the Rambam should have wrote the Torah. He would have added to the 13th principle. The Torah applies to all generations, and it's always going to be nogeya. So that's why he said it's only two psukim, but it got a whole book to teach us this very important lesson. And of course, the question then is, why the nun? We have Aleph Beis Gimel. That we have many letters in the Aleph Beis. Why was the nun picked? As of course, whatever letter was picked, I would have asked. But so, what does the nun represent? So, there's a famous explanation from Dr. Lamb, Rabbi Lamb, who used to be president. He had his first yahrzeit not long ago. He was president of Yeshiva University during my tenure. So he points out one explanation that what is the word, the letter nun, the word nun in Aramaic means fish. So what does fish have to do with anything? So we know to be a kosher fish, different animals, you have to have split hooves, chew your cud. The birds, they give us a list of non-kosher birds. But by fish, if you know how to fish, so it's much simpler. Just check if it has fins and scales, you know it's kosher. If there's no fins and scales, so it's not kosher. So what does a kosher fish need fins and scales? So our P makshava is, what are the scales there? The scales are there to protect you. You know, when you're going in the water, it's a protection. And you need the fins to navigate. So that's what. So the nun represent a fish, a kosher fish. That the whole idea of Jews, whether it's in Gullus or not in Gullus, but we know it's like traveling upstream, like a fish. You have to be like a fish. You have to have the scale of protection and the fins to protect you. The Jew is always fighting upscale, like it says, like Avraham Ivri. Avraham was on, he was the first one to spread ethical monotheism. To, you know, everyone, no one believed in God before him. So a Jew's always alone. We don't necessarily need a reminder, but we got one a week or two ago during the short, whatever you want to call it, war or protection against Hamas, and we seem to be pretty alone in terms of that, which is the status of a Jew. So Allah of Yaduish, Esav Soni as Yaakov. We know it. Anti-Semitism. Sometimes they change the names. Anti-Zionism. That's why, of course, anti. So why are they telling me free Palestine? Like, why didn't they go to a Gentile on the street? Like, anti-Zionism has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. Why are they going to Jewish areas and saying, kill all the Jews for? I must have missed that one. And, well, what about Holocaust denial? That's another one. That the same guy in Iran that says the Holocaust never happened says he's going to bring another one by blowing up Israel. So, and that's always been the case, you know. There's always going to be anti-Semitism. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have to call it out when it happens, but it comes in all different forms, and it's b'chol davador, as we read in the Haggadah. They come in different, we've been lucky so far in North America, you know, in America, Canada. Hopefully things will remain, but a lot of scary signals out there. But hopefully, you know, we'll continue. As a Jew in anywhere, we always have to fight upstream. It's like the fish going upstream and he needs the fins and the scales. That's what the Jew needs, the Torah, to navigate. So that's why this parsha, why the nun, if the parsha of the nun afukim teaches me the Torah applies during all times, That's why you need the Nun HaFulchem to teach us how to navigate through all the different, you know, during normal times and during the crisis time. As we said, you know, we went through, different times. As I said, the 1920s to the 40s is a lost generation. As Rav Moshe had a famous saying in Yiddish, something about it's hard to be a Jew. That one of the things that brought down is the attitude that the people, even though, let's say, the Eastern European Jews came over, but all that kids saw was the pain of being Jew. Oh, it's so difficult. I got to do this. I got to do that. And the whole generation was lost. You have to show the positivity of Judaism and the joy. And just on parenthetically, that's how there's a beautiful pshat by Rav Chaim, I think it's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, on this week's Parsha Shvach, that we know that they gave a false report about the land of Israel, and they were punished. They were destined for 40 years, that they weren't going to enter, those people weren't going to enter the land of Israel. The question is, why 40 years? So it says for each day, they got a year. For each day. So the question is, Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asked, but what do you mean? The sin wasn't, that's how long the mission lasted, 40 days. The Lashon Hara took a couple of minutes, I guess. I'll give you maybe an hour if you want. But like, they didn't sin for 40 days. Like, what do you mean? Like, they only spoke to Lashon Hara for a couple of minutes. So like, what? So why did we get 40? Well, you know, the mission was 40 days, but the sin wasn't 40 days, or was it? And that's where Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, one of the Mir Mashkichim, points out, people make the mistake. They think Lashon Hara, well, Lashon Hara is speaking the Lashon Hara. That part's true. Speaking Lashon Hara is Lashon Hara, but that's only the symptom. If you fight the symptom, you're never going to change. Like, what did people do before the Chafetz Chaim printed the Lashon Hara book? The Chafetz Chaim is telling you the do's and don'ts. But people didn't, in other words, it doesn't have to be Rapam's wife, it could be anyone's, but Rapam's wife never spoke Lashon Hara, and she never learned the book of the Chafetz Chaim. Because the Chafetz Chaim, that's the symptom. If you have a problem, start learning it. There's the do's and don'ts. But what's the root cause? The root cause is you go in and you see the bad in people. If a person who, if you're looking for the good in people, you don't have to worry about what Lashon Hara. There are some crazy people, but you usually don't speak Lashon Hara about your parents, about your children, your friends. It's usually Lashon Hara about people you don't like, or something you don't like. Because the root cause of if you have Avas Yisrael, then you're more likely not to speak Lashon Hara. It's when you go in already, and you know, with the spies, they might have preconceived notions based on false, they had good intentions, but they thought going into Eretz Yisrael wasn't going to be a good idea at this time. They needed the spiritual cocoon of staying in the Midbar, with the, you know, living above the laws of nature. But the root cause was not viewing people or land favorably. And therefore, that was for 40 days, that sin. The actual speaking of Lashon Hara is only 1 minute, but the root cause goes back to you don't have Avas Yisrael or Avas anyone. That you don't, Lashon Hara means that you're lacking in Avas Yisrael, and you're not looking at people, the sin is not looking at people favorably, not the actual result of it. And that's what the punishment was fitting. 40 days, for 40 days you had bad things, that you were thinking about bad ways, or, well, let me, I know my result, I want to stay in the Midbar, let's go see. So by definition, you know, you see what you want to see. That's just the way it works. And therefore, that was the mistake in the Ragam. They had bad, they had good intentions, but they couldn't get past, you know, everyone has their own negias, and that's the Yisod. That's why they were destined for 40 years. And that's the Yisod here, that it's the seventh book, is to teach us how to deal with the Torah's applicable to all generations at all times, and we have to be like the fish. We got to protect ourselves, and we got to learn how to navigate through all times. And no one says it's easy to be a Jew and easy to be an observant Jew. But that's the avodah. We have to learn to navigate, and to keep in mind, we know it's an uphill battle. We're always going upstream, and that's why we have the fish and the scales, as Rav Pam used to always say, that this, like every, this like an animal, has two simani kashrus, a chew its cud, split hooves, or fins and scale. We have two simani kashrus, ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chaveiro. We got to keep both sides of the tablets, commandments between man and God, and commandments be interpersonal, and through that, you know, then hopefully we'll have a successful journey going upstream as well.